You're listening to the Backstage Pass, powered by the SportsGuysPodcast.com. We are presented by Tour Guitars for your custom-made guitar. Check them out at tourguitars.us. We're also presented by Bangtail Whiskey. To get your drink on, check them out at bangtail.com. This is your home for some of the hottest new artists in music today, as well as some of the greatest artists from yesterday. Here are Brandon Morrill, Nick Canizales, Melissa Rowe, Jeff McMahon, and Kirsty Kraus, exclusively on the SportsGuysPodcast.com. And welcome into the Backstage Pass for a Tuesday. Hard to believe the week is just flying by, and good to be here with you guys as always. Presented by our good friends over at Tour Guitars, so check them out at tourguitars.us for your custom-made guitar, and also Bangtail Whiskey, bangtail.com, or of course, we're also you can download the Easy Liquor app to get your bottle today. Brandon Morrill and Jeff McMahon, I'm pleased to welcome in a musical icon. She's a legend out there. And she's got a new project called The Best Is Yet to Come with a brand new fantastic album. Miss Bonnie Tyler to the program. Miss Bonnie, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Doing real well out there, too. And this album is
about a month or 5-6 weeks, something like that. And it's getting really good reviews, and I'm very happy with it.
As well, it should.
Album.
It's a great album, no doubt. We're going to break down a few tracks there and just talk about it. Well, I guess these uncertain times, Bonnie, I kind of want to start with this because COVID hit last year and really put the musicians and the music industry kind of on a different pedestal, if you will, out there. The live shows were lost and a whole bunch of other things canceled. How did it affect you? Because honestly, it's tough to release an album in these tough times.
Well, my album was finished before lockdown, so it was due to come out last April. But, 79 of my shows were postponed into 2021 and 2022. And now the ones that were postponed into 2021 have been postponed again now into 2022. So, but the tickets that were on sale and that were bought, a lot of the shows were sold out. Those tickets are still valued, so it affected us terribly that way, live shows. But everybody's in the same boat, aren't you? It's terrible for the musicians and the people that build the stages, the sound guys, the lighting. It's been a nightmare for them,
Yeah.
I can't grumble. I'm here in sunny Portugal. I came for a week's holiday last March, and I've been here a year.
Well, but I would think with things opening back up, I have not had the opportunity to see you perform live. But I as opposed to somebody that only pulls attention when they're on the radio because they don't have much of a live show, I can certainly see enough online that when you go back, when you're able to get back out on stage, you're going to have a huge audience waiting for you to get back out there, surely.
Absolutely. And the thing is, it's going to be so emotional when we actually meet up now, the band and the crew, when we meet up again. Oh, my God, it's going to be awesome,
Yeah.
It's going to be tears of joy and just amazing. This is the first time I haven't worked since I'm 17.
Right, right.
That's unbelievable. Wow. And I'm 69 now.
Well, you wouldn't know it.
I started singing in 1969, and now I'm 69. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Ms. Bonnie, about the career. Let's reflect on everything you've accomplished, the great songs, the great hits. And some people have said here on the show that COVID has given them a little bit of time to take a break and not touring. But as you reflect back, what are you most proud of?
Oh, well, actually, getting back with David Mackay, the producer of this album, that I've been with him now again for the last 3 years, and I started off with him with It's a Heartache, in the 70s.
Oh, wow.
And so it's great to be back with him again, And so I am really happy about this album. I think it's one of the best albums I've ever done. David Mackay is just, he's fabulous in the studio. It was a total joy to me, you know, and the songwriters that have written for me, especially for me, you know, they just know what I'm at, you know, they know me, all about me. I think David knows me more than I know myself, but I can't wait now to get back out on the stage with my boys and my band and see all the fans again. You know, I've missed my audiences. I've missed bloody airports. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
You know, I never thought I'd say that. But,
sure.
You know, you get a lot of exercise walking from gate to gate. Now I'm walking down the beach instead.
Well, and you talk about working with David, who you did your first record with, and the guys in your band. I'm a musician as well, and have played on a number of records. And people just don't understand the connections and the enrichment that you get from working with those people that you've created so much with and you interact with, that can kind of get in your head the same way you can get back in theirs to make something out of nothing, right?
Yeah, he's David in particular is amazing, and he has wonderful musicians working with him, you know. I mean, because I recorded this album in between touring,
right?
Obviously, like when I fly into Heathrow Airport, my band need a break, you know, go and see the wife and the kids and whatever.
Sure.
So I used to go down with my husband 25 minutes down the road from Heathrow to David Mackay's studio. And I used to put a few songs down then, like every time we came back from tour, and then I'd drive to Wales, where I'm obviously from with this accent, and then pack, see my family for a couple of days, and then I'd be off again, you know. But no, to be working with David again is an absolute, you know, it's fantastic. He's such a wonderful producer. And, you know, what he did, he used to play me demos each time I went there. And if I liked them, then we'd start working on them, you know, get a key for them. And by the time I came back from another tour, he'd done the tracks ready for me to listen to. And then all I had to do was put my vocal down, you know. And I've always been a live singer anyway, you know. I don't use any of this tune-up block, you know. It's all natural and it's there. I'm out on the stage. Well, I can't wait to get out there again, you know.
Yeah, I love it. I want to talk to you about, of course, the big one out there, one of the big ones that you had, Total Eclipse of the Heart, Bonnie, because it's such a special song, lives on forever, is one of the greatest tunes of all time. Who did you get a chance to work with on that song? And excited when you guys put that out, and still today, one of the most top-selling singles of all time.
Amazing song. I mean, and I'm so lucky to have a song like that in my repertoire, you know. I mean, and if it hadn't been for this particular day that I was in a taxi in London, going to CBS Records. I was just signed for 5 years to CBS. I had just left RCA because I wanted to change my direction, you know. I was doing country rock and I wanted to go more rock, you know. So,
right.
And I was in a taxi and this song came on with Meat Loaf. And I'm thinking, wow, the production on this and the lyrics in this song is just incredible, you know.
Right.
And I thought, so when I got to CBS, which is Sony, you know, CBS then, and Muff Winwood said to me, well, what direction would you like to go in, Bonnie? Who would you like to work with? I said, oh my God, I just heard Meat Loaf on the radio on the way to the you know, the record company. And I said, I want to work with whoever's written and produced Jim's Meat Loaf. And he said, Bonnie, that's Jim Steinman. I said, so ask him, you know. I'd love to work with him. I know I could. And he said, oh, Bonnie, it's a long shot. He's never going to do it. I said, what do you mean? You know, how do you know? Ask him first, and then we'll ask somebody else if he says no.
Right.
So he said, oh, okay, but it's a long shot. So anyway, he asked him, and Jim asked me, would I go to New York to meet him? and he played me quite a lot of music. And one of the songs that he really played for me was an old Creedence Clearwater Revival song, "Have You Ever Seen the Rain?" And he said, "Right. Don't you fancy covering that one?" I said, "Oh my God, I'd love to do it, you know." And anyway, so Jim decided he'd like to work with me. And it turned out 3 weeks later, he finished writing Total Eclipse of the Heart that he had started writing years before, right? And was probably going to give to Meatloaf, but at the time Meatloaf had lost his voice. So he gave it to me, so aren't I the lucky one? And then I did two albums with Jim Steinman, you know? And it was wonderful working with him. It was really amazing. And I mean, it was nominated for 2 Grammy Awards for the best song on the best video. But I lost out on the best video to Michael Jackson. Not bad.
Yeah.
Billie Jean. And I lost out the best song to Irene Cara for It's a Feeling from Flashdance, you know?
Right.
Excuse me, I'll have a drop of water.
No, please. You know, that's one of the things that I know of Jim Steinman is from a distance, but you know, he seems like a kind of a really brilliant mad scientist. You know, you would know, but I mean, he winds up with these giant visions. For you to say, "Oh, I want to move up from country rock."
Yeah.
I mean, you went not up from, I mean, that's the, at the time, and probably still, there was nobody more bombastic, more massive, more theatrical than him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to work with anybody that he doesn't believe in fully, which is a real testament to you.
I know. I take it as a huge compliment, you know, and he is a bit crazy. But he's lovely crazy, you know. I mean, I never forget the first time I went to meet him. I was, I went with my manager at the time then, David Aspen. And we were invited to his wonderful apartment overlooking Central Park, you know. And when we got out of the lift, after all the rigmarole of passing his security down in the reception, we were told what floor to go to and whatever. And when we got to the lift, we walked outside and there's all these M&M sweets on the floor. And it was like a trail of M&M sweets. And we followed this trail and there they were then. They stopped on the ledge of the door, which was Jim Steinman's door to his apartment. And because E.T. was out at the time, remember? And all the M&M sweets. Crazy. And then he answered the door with all this hair flowing everywhere, you know. And it was black then. I mean, a silver grey now. Like all that underneath the highlights and God knows what.
I remember you at that time. I don't know how much you can talk about people having big hair. But then again, I had big hair back then, too.
You still have.
Well, we're hanging in there. one of the things, I mean, not only Jim Steinman, but that's what's so great about having this new record out from you. Because so many people, they come, you know, they haven't done something in a while. You've still produced consistently. But when you say the best is yet to come, and you look back at people, not only Jim Steinman, that worked with you, but Rod Stewart and Barry Gibb and Vince Gill, who I live here in Nashville. Vince, I mean, you know, it's easy to think that the best is yet to come for Bonnie Tyler when you have that much respect from so many iconic people that have had so much influence, right?
I know. I couldn't believe it. I asked them, would they do duets with me? And they all said yes, you know. So, you know, it's just like when I asked Jim Steinman if he'd work with me, you know. If you don't ask, you don't get, you know.
So, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
I was thrilled to do a duet with Rod Stewart. But I was, unfortunately, we weren't in the same country at the time, you know.
Right.
So we didn't actually do it together. He was in London and I was touring over in Europe, and when he was available, you know. And I was touring then. So, but I, when I went back to London, then I did my version, but he'd flown off to LA then, you know. But yes, to work with these people, I've been extremely lucky, you know. And, you know, the amazing Desmond Child, I mean,
right.
He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Songwriters Fame. How do you say it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Songwriters Hall of Fame in New York.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
And he's just wonderful, you know. And I phoned him up while I was making this album, and I said, Desmond, I'm in the studio making a new album. Have you got a new song for me, please, you know? And within a few days, he sent me Stronger Than a Man, you know? And
right.
It's a wonderful song, you know? And there's one line in there, a woman's place is anywhere a woman wants to stand.
Yeah. Such a great song there. Bonnie, I got to ask you about another one that still lives on today. Of course, Footloose, everybody knows that. Holding Out for a Hero, you really put your stamp on that one, too. I love that song.
Yes, in Footloose, I was so honored to be asked to do a soundtrack for Footloose with Kevin Bacon in the film, you know, and the part of the film it's in mm-hmm. is just so exciting. In fact, they took me to the film studios to play me the rushes of the part of the film that Holding Out for a Hero is going to be in, you know, so that I could judge the excitement that the song needed, you know. And it really helped, you know. It really did help. I do think I sing Total Eclipse of the Heart and Holding Out for a Hero better these days, but, you know, it's because I'm so familiar with them, I suppose, you know. But I still phone my voice coach 3 times a week, every week, all through lockdown even though I'm not working, you know, so that I'm ready to get out there, you know, when I can. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's a good thing. Yeah.
Ms. Bonnie, how do you decide what songs you're going to record? Because
if they're going to work well on stage, I just know it, you know. Like,
yeah.
You know, you mentioned earlier on, Call Me Thunder.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
blimey. I can't wait to do that live, you know. I can't wait to do that live. I can't wait to do When the Lights Go Down. Take the radio out on the back porch. We'll dance real slow. Oh, it's a great song, you know. And Stuck to My Guns. And there's so many good songs on there. And the album's called The Best Is Yet to Come because it's the first song on the album, The Best Is Yet to Come, but every song just gets better and better, you know. But it's also The Best Is Yet to Come because once we're all vaccinated and we can start living again.
Oh, right.
Crazy, yeah?
Right. So when you say that you want to know how they're going to work live, do you try any of these songs out in advance of choosing to record them, or is it just kind of a gut?
I just know they'll work.
Yeah.
Obviously, once I can get together with my band now for rehearsals, it's been too long, you know. So once we rehearse these songs, I know exactly what's going to work in my show. You know,
yeah.
I got very loyal fans. And I mean, the list of favorites with everybody, I mean, it's just, I love it, you know? And
yeah.
I'm definitely, you know, I can't wait because it's going to be so exciting. The show's going to fly by like that because it's...
Oh, sure.
It's so, you know, I just love what I do anyway, you know, with my band. We're like a big family on the road. Most of the musicians have been with me for 30-odd years, you know. The drummer
right.
is relatively new. He's been with me about 6 or 7 years, you know?
Sure.
But he's awesome.
The second,
he's kicked us up the ass a bit.
The second track off of there to Miss Bonnie, The Best Is Yet to Come, which is a new album from the great Bonnie Tyler. Dreams Are Not Enough. Kind of explain the backstory, Bonnie, of that one.
Dreams Are Not Enough was written by a fellow Welshman. What's his name now? Neil Lockwood.
Mm-hmm.
And It's got a wonderful chorus, isn't it? You know, and that's another one that I will probably do live on stage as well. I have wonderful musicians on the album, and you know, there's a song on there as well called "I'm Only Guilty of mm-hmm. Loving You," right? Mm-hmm. And the brass on that. The only thing is, I haven't got brass in my band, you know, so I don't know how we're going to do that one, you know. But it's great. If you listen to that song, it's kind of like the old mm-hmm. Stax songs, you know. Like
the old soul stuff out of Memphis.
Yes.
Yeah. Sure.
I love that too. And what's great about it is another great song. Two more, in fact. The whole album's great, but I love "I'm Not in Love" is another great great tune there too. How excited was it to put that one together?
Well, the thing is, I wasn't at all sure about doing that because, I mean, 10cc. Oh my God! I mean, that song was amazing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And David suggested it to me, and I said, "Oh, I don't know about that, David." And he said, "Oh, Bonnie, I'm sure you could really make it your own, you know, and we will do a completely new approach to it, you know." And I said, well, I'll give it a try, you know, see how it goes. And so when I started singing it, it just came over so different. It's completely different, isn't it? You know, and it really suits me. I would love to know what they think of it. You know, I obviously don't know, mm-hmm. but but I love it.
Yeah, another one on there too was the last track that was on there, "Catch the Wind."
Donovan.
Had a good feel to it. Just everything's good on there. What was the story behind "Catch the Wind"?
Well, when I was just getting into singing myself, you know, when I was a young girl, like 16, and I started singing when I was 17 and a half, right? But, you know, obviously you get into music earlier than that. And Donovan used to be on Top of the Pops a lot, you know, and I used to love Donovan, you know, and his songs are fabulous. And, you know, when the record company suggested we put maybe one or two covers of the album, because I didn't want to do any more duets. Because last year I had three duets on the album, one with Sir Rod Stewart, one with Sir Cliff Richard, and one with Francis Rossi from, you know, Francis Rossi. Bloody hell, what's the band? You know, they were in It's gone.
I know who you're talking about. Yes.
Yeah, you know.
Status Quo.
Rock and roll all over the world. You know.
Would you say Jeff Status Quo? You said Status Quo, Jeff. Is that right?
Yes.
I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Oh my God! Okay. I tell you what, Francis would kick me up the ass now for forgetting Status Quo. Yeah, but anyway, yeah. No, he's a great chap. He's really lovely. And there's another one that said yes. You know.
So yeah, Donovan.
I didn't want to put any more duets on this album because I found when I went out to tour not last year, I was very restricted with what songs I could sing off my new album because I had so many duets on there. So I thought, well, I'm bloody doing it this time. I'm doing them all on my own so I can choose anyone I want to do on the stage, you know.
Sure.
And but Donovan's song, David has done a wonderful new approach to that as well, you know. Beautiful lyrics in that song. When the leaves have hung the... No. When the tears... Oh, shit, never mind. When, you know, like when the rain... That's right. When the rain has hung the leaves with tears. Isn't that lovely? I think so, anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
I tell you what, I love the album so much, and you're right, the best is yet to come, no doubt. I wanted to ask you about this, Miss Bonnie, because so much talent out there today in the pop industry and, of course, just all genres of music. What kind of advice could you give a new artist today to basically not just get in the business, love it, dedicate yourself, but also your long career speaks for itself. What kind of advice would you give some young artists today, Miss Bonnie?
Well, the thing is, it's completely different to when I started. I mean, you know, I was selling like 52,000 copies a day. At the very minimum, I was selling like 36,000 copies a day, you know?
Right.
Records don't sell anymore. You're in this business because you just love performing, you know, forget thinking, you know, in terms of selling records these days. It's all about the live shows. And if you're not a confident live singer, you know, and if you don't absolutely love it, you know, don't go into this business for any other reason, unless you can write your own songs. Unfortunately, I've only written very few songs, and you know, that's not my forte, you know, neither was it Tina Turner's. Mm-hmm. You know, we do other people's songs, we interpret them, and but I think I would say, if you can write your own songs, fantastic, go that way. But get into get some musicians together that are really into what they do, and really rehearse and get your name on some charity shows, local to start up and whatever, mm-hmm. you know, so that you can gain experience. I mean, I was thrown in at the deep end. I was working like six nights a week, every week in a residency. I never sent my tapes away I didn't make any tapes. I never sent any tapes away to record companies in the hope that I would get a recording deal, because I just thought there was no chance of that, you know. Because I was living in Wales and things like that only happened in London, I thought, you know. But it must have been fate, you know. I've been blessed all my life, I think. But this particular night, a talent scout came down from London, who worked for Chapel Music, and he had come down and he heard me singing, and he went back to London and he told the songwriting team about me, and they invited me to London to make some demos.
Demos,
one of which was my very first hit record when I was 26, called Lost in France. And that was the first time I'd ever seen a studio. First time I ever went to London, you know, as a real country bumpkin, you know. Then it's changed. I traveled the world. I've been around the world. I don't know how many times now. Thank God I've done it, because I don't look as if it could happen anymore, does it? Much.
Well, do you think that, you know, he was asking about, you know, advice. You have such a clear sense of self-awareness as to what you like musically and what you do musically. And you just said that, you know, your break kind of happened older than it would happen for an artist now, when they're trying to recruit people at 15 and 16 and 17. Do you think that helped you make some decisions that have helped you be creative and be so vibrant this long in your career?
I think, you know, the first 7 years of my career that I was singing six nights a week, dodging the darts in front of the stage and the chicken and chips in the basket and in between bingo and all that, you know, all that was great experience, you know. And but, you know, mostly I was in a residency in nightclubs. All that was extremely good for me, because it gave me a grounding, you know. And not only that, we used to have different nights in this. You know, it's totally different now. It doesn't go on like this anymore, you know. But we used to have different nights in nightclub. We'd have a country and western night. We'd have old time dancing night. Mm-hmm. Right? I'd be singing waltzes, quick steps, bossa novas. You know, you name it, I was doing it. You know. And then we'd have a blues night. And then we'd have, you know, all different genres of music. We'd have different nights for this music. And it was a great experience, you know. But these days, they go into talent competition, and if they get one hit record, and then they don't get in the top 10 with the next record, they're dumped. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how they would deal with that, you know.
Right.
it's not fair, is it? You know, in my day, we were given a chance to, be signed for 5 albums or whatever, sure. You know.
And figure it out.
In 5 years or something.
You got a chance to learn and develop and figure it out.
Yeah.
Well, I had to ask you too, Bonnie, the artwork for the new album, The Best Is Yet to Come. Tell me how that came together, because I think it's beautiful artwork too.
Oh, it is, yeah. I mean, I love it because it's kind of an illustration of a picture I had taken about 2.5 years ago for the album Between the Earth and the Stars. Well, because I'm over in Portugal now, and you know, the lockdown and everything, what they did, they took one of those pictures and they, the record company found this fantastic boy in Spain that does wonderful, how do you call it? I'm hopeless, am I terrible? Illustrations of, and when I saw it, I thought, oh, I like that, you know. I mean, it's hard to live up to because it really is, you know, I look so young in it and whatever, you know. But I mean, it's typical of the album covers that are going out now. It's kind of like the 80s, isn't it, you know. And some of the songs are like a throwback to the 80s, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I love the album cover. I think he's done a great job.
Beautiful. Yeah, it's beautiful too. Well, I got to finish, Miss Bonnie. Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that's what's so great about all of your music is because you moved through all those different areas and you did all those different things in clubs and you've worked with these rockers and country people and you recorded, I think you recorded at Blackbird here in Nashville when you recorded one of your records, which was right across the street from where I worked for a while. I think that's what's so great. Now that people are building playlists on their iPhones, they can find stuff off your new record, stuff that they knew from the 80s, that can fit in any playlist with any combination of any people because you have all of those flavors in your music and still do with this new record.
I know, it's amazing, isn't it? You know, I mean, I'm even on TikTok now, you know. Doing turn around. Come on, sing.
Every now and then I feel a little bit low. Yeah. I can't sing, but I just love that. Yeah, love the song to me.
I don't do playlists, though. Do you? You know, I'm.
I do.
Well, a lot of people do, but you know that. You know, one of the things that I took note of and. And I have to say this just because I've listened to so much of your stuff for so long is when I went back and listened to that Vince Gill cut that you did and the first line, I don't know if you remember the first line of that song that he said, you remember what he says? I just had to hear your voice.
Oh yeah. Oh, do you know?
And I think that speaks a lot to your stuff.
Oh, what a beautiful voice he's got, yeah. And that was. Do you know David Huff by any chance? He was in Giant years ago.
I know Dan, his brother, as a producer. Right. Yeah.
Well, David,
yeah, because he's worked on some stuff.
Lots and Honey, you know.
Right.
And I said, you know, I would love Vince Gill to sing on this record, you know. And he said, I know him. He said, I'll ask him. And he invited me then to his studio and his own studio, you know, and I recorded it in Vince Gill's studio with all his Grammy Awards, hundreds of them everywhere, you know. And what a lovely guy.
Yeah.
And his wife's got an amazing voice, hasn't she? Yeah.
Oh, she does, no doubt. She really does, too. Well, I got to finish, Miss Bonnie, on a little thing we call rapid fire here. So it's a series of funny questions and no right or wrong answers. So we'll start with this one, too. I remember a big, big hit back then, too, that my buddy was asking me about yesterday. And I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about it because I'm sure It's a Heartache had to be fun to perform live even today. That's still a fun song for you to play live.
Yeah, absolutely.
What kind of went behind that one as far as the writing and how beautiful the lyrics were with that song and who you worked with on that project?
Ronnie Scott and Steve Wolf wrote that song. And, you know, it's really strange because Juice Newton and Ronnie Spector released versions of that before my version could come out, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I thought, oh, no, somebody else is going to have a hit in America now with, you know, with this song on it. And they didn't play their versions. They only played Bonnie Tyler's version, you know? And I couldn't believe it. The first time I arrived in L.A. At the airport, and in them days, in 1979, I think it was, or 78. Anyway, I got into the limo that was parked outside. Massive, massive limo, you know. And anyway, we get in this limo, and I'm twitching on the, you know, turning on the radio, and thousands of radio stations, and you wouldn't believe how many times I came across "It's a Heartache." I felt like putting the windows down going, "This is me!" It was awesome. And I was working then with Tom Jones in the Greek Theatre in Los Angeles for three nights. Oh, my God, he was fabulous.
Well, and there you were talking about how people don't typically come out of Wales. And now we've got two icons, you and Tom Jones, right?
Yeah, and you know Catherine Zeta-Jones?
Right.
She's my husband's cousin. And I sang in their wedding, Michael and Catherine's wedding in New York.
It's a very small world at times.
It
for
is
sure.
It? Yeah.
Love that. Well, I tell you, Ms. Bonnie, I got to ask you this one too. When it comes to cooking, what do you enjoy most? What's your favorite dish to cook?
Oh, I'm always cooking now, right? Do you know what? Today, I've made my neighbor, actually, who they got a vineyard here, right? And they've also got an avocado farm as well. And they gave me a box of avocados today, right? And one or two of them were ripe, ready, you know? And I thought, oh, what can I do with this now? So what I made, right? I looked on this machine I got. I put in avocado, right? And what came up? And what came up was avocado and lime muffins, right?
Oh, wow.
So I made 12 muffins today. but no, what I really like to eat in Portugal especially are the very small clams in white wine and coriander and garlic. And they are the conguilias they're called. They're the very small clams, like the size of an almond nut, you know. But the other clams are nice too as well, you know. But I cook every night. I've made a simple bolognese for tonight now.
Oh, that's right up our alley, Jeff, the pasta. You can't beat bolognese.
And garlic
that's one
bread,
of the best.
Yeah.
Garlic bread. Well, of all the places you've performed worldwide, Ms. Bonnie, is there a favorite place or a favorite festival that you enjoy?
I love doing the Harley-Davidson festivals, right? They are my favorite festivals to do. They're really great, you know, great fun. And the last one I did was in Saint-Tropez. And this guy said to me, "Bonnie, would you like to come for a ride on my bike?" And he looked nice, you know, and his family were in the restaurant. We were all in the restaurant in front. He said, "That's my bike there." And his wife and some people that were around, you know. And they could see I was dying to have a go, you know, but I thought, yeah, why not? So anyway, I jumped on the back of this Harley Davidson, right? And he had Bluetooth headphones. And so we were driving around Monte Carlo, Saint-Tropez, with "Born in the USA," blasting through the headphones, you know. And it was fantastic. It was absolutely fantastic.
That's great.
Well, I tell you, the album is fantastic. The best is yet to come. She's still doing it for many years strong. The great Bonnie Tyler here on the show. Bonnie, we appreciate the time. And hey, best of luck with the album. And definitely, we'd love to have you back here on the show. Hope you had a great time.
I have. Thank you both very much.
Thank you.
I'm so happy that you love the album. Yeah.
Oh, we do.
Great.
We absolutely do. Absolutely do. And you know, Vince said it best when I just had to hear your voice. So thank you for that.
Yeah. Be sure to go get the album across all the digital platforms and visit her at BonnieTyler.com. We thank Tour Guitars and Bangtail Whiskey. We'll talk to you guys soon on the Backstage Pass. Stay tuned for more.
Thank you. And anything else you need to know, BonnieTyler.com.
Hey, everybody. This is Jimmy Vonda all the way over here in Texas. I'm on the branded show, The Backstage Pass, and we're rocking out here. We're playing some of my new album and talking about old times and new times. So check it out.
If you're in the market for a custom-made, custom-designed acoustic guitar, there is only one place to go, and that is Tour Guitars. Our custom-made guitars can be made from numerous shapes and sizes to accommodate multiple playing styles, personal playability, and voice. Choose from many exotic rainforest woods or domestic tone woods. Many are hand-finished in the old-style French polishing method. Personalized inlays are a feature, as are embellishments like pickups, sound ports, shell inlays, wooden, and shell rosettes. We design together and then we create. Pictures are provided from start to finish. Tour Guitars' sweet tone comes from the wood. To get yours today, visit toirguitars.us or give us a call at 806-252-8943. That's 806-252-8943.
Hey, this is David Ball here talking with Brandon. We've been talking about country music. You can hear it on the Sports Guys Podcast.
It's time to say cheers to your new favorite whiskey. That's right, Bangtail Whiskey, the official whiskey sponsor of the Backstage Pass. Enjoy our traditional corn mash whiskey aged in charred new American oak barrels. You'll find a pleasant aroma of vanilla and spice before galloping into notes of nougat, sweet corn, and a lingering caramel finish. Built on a dream aged 25 years, we handcrafted Bangtail Whiskey to create the perfect sip no matter how you drink your whiskey. Our mission from the beginning was to distill a top-shelf product that can be enjoyed by all. But don't take our word for it. Grab a bottle today. Taste whiskey as it's meant to be enjoyed. Visit them over at Bangtail.com. That's right, it's Bangtail Whiskey. Old roots, new whiskey for the modern cowboy.
Howdy, howdy, everybody. Kevin Fowler here, and you're listening to my favorite place for sports in Texas country, the best music on the planet. That's right here at the SportsGuysPodcast.com.
Thanks for joining us here on the Backstage Pass, powered by the SportsGuysPodcast.com. We are presented by our good friends over at Tour Guitars for your custom-made guitar. Check them out, toirguitars.us. And also, get the best whiskey out there on the market. Visit Bangtail.com. That's right, it's Bangtail Whiskey, the official whiskey sponsor of the Backstage Pass. Keep it locked at the SportsGuysPodcast.com. It's a grand slam of sports and music.